Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, December the 30th, the head of the World Health Organization decries Israeli strikes on Gaza hospitals, saying they have again become battlegrounds. An annual report reveals 13 missionaries lost their lives in 2024. But first, Pope Francis expresses condolences for the death of former US President Jimmy Carter, recalling his commitment to reconciliation and peace. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Jimmy Carter, who served as US president for one term from 1977 to 1981, died Sunday at his home in Plains, Georgia. He was 100 years old. In a telegram of condolence marking the death of the former president, Pope Francis recalled Carter's commitment to the promotion of reconciliation and peace, his support for human rights, and his advocacy for the poor. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Pope Francis says he was saddened to learn of the death of former President Jimmy Carter, and he offered his heartfelt condolences and prayers for those who mourn his passing. In a telegram signed by Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin, the Pope recalled Carter's firm commitment, motivated by deep Christian faith, to the cause of reconciliation and peace between peoples, the defense of human rights and the welfare of the poor and those in need. And he commended him to the infinite mercies of Almighty God. The former U.S. president was 100 years old when he died on Sunday in his home in Plains in the U.S. state of Georgia. Shortly after his death was made public, the sitting president, Joe Biden, spoke about his predecessor.
What I find extraordinary about Jimmy Carter, though, is that millions of people all around the world, all over the world, feel they lost a friend as well, even though they never met him. And that's because Jimmy Carter lived a life measured not by words, but by his deeds. Just look at his life, his life's work. He worked to eradicate disease, not just at home, but around the world. He forged peace, advanced civil rights, human rights, promoted free and fair elections around the world. He built housing and homeless for the homeless with his own hands. And his compassion and moral clarity lifted people up and changed lives and saved lives all over the globe.
In a written statement, Biden described Jimmy Carter as a man of great character and courage, hope and optimism, and he praised his compassion and moral clarity. Archbishop Gregory Hartmeyer of Atlanta, Georgia, also issued a statement saying Carter and his wife Rosalind exemplified the Christian faith. Whether it was traveling the globe to advance democracy and champion human rights, or building houses with Habitat for Humanity, and teaching Sunday school in Plains, Georgia, they made the world a better place, the Archbishop said. Jimmy Carter is expected to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda in Washington, D.C., prior to a state funeral scheduled for January 9th. President Biden has announced that date as a day of mourning for the passing of his predecessor. I'm Christopher Wells.
Russia and Ukraine have reportedly exchanged hundreds of prisoners of war. The Russian Defense Ministry said on Monday that in a deal brokered by the United Arab Emirates, Moscow swapped 150 Ukrainian soldiers held captive for an equal number of Russian troops. The released Russian troops were in Belarus and were being given medical assistance and the chance to contact their families. Ukraine has not yet commented. Before the latest swap, there had been just 10 prison exchanges between the countries this year. Israeli attacks have killed 27 Palestinians and wounded 149 in the latest 24-hour reporting period. This is according to Gaza's health ministry. More than 45,000 people have been killed in the enclave in the last 14 months. Among the latest deaths is that of one-month-old Ali al-Batran, who died on Monday from hypothermia in Gaza's Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, a day after his twin brother died from the same cause. denouncing the catastrophic humanitarian situation for the people of Gaza. The head of the World Health Organization said hospitals in the enclave have once again become battlegrounds and the health system is under severe threat. Nathan Morley reports.
Tedros Ghebreyesus said that people in Gaza need access to healthcare and humanitarians need access to provide health aid. He also called for the immediate release of Hassam Abdusfia, the director of the Kamal Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza, who was detained by Israeli troops last week. It was then that the Israeli army completed a so-called targeted operation against what they suspected was a Hamas command centre located within the hospital. The army then reported the detention of more than 240 Hamas operatives, some of whom the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, claimed allegedly tried to disguise themselves as patients. However, hospital operations were also disrupted and the building was severely damaged by fire. In other regional developments, Syria's new regime has arrested nearly 300 supporters of the ousted President Bashar al-Assad, according to the British-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. Over the past week, security forces have arrested individuals around the Syrian capital Damascus. According to the SOHR, those arrested include former soldiers and informants of the Assad regime. 3 weeks ago, the Islamist HTS group ousted al-Assad, who is now in exile in Moscow. Elsewhere, Lebanon's army says at least 45 people have been killed between the 27th of November and the 22nd of December in Israeli violations in the ceasefire agreement. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Syria's rebel leader Ahmed al-Sharaa, who led the campaign that toppled longtime ruler Bashar al-Assad, said that holding new elections in Syria could take up to 4 years. In an interview with Saudi state broadcaster Al Arabiya, al-Sharaa, who heads the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham group, said drafting a new constitution could take up to 3 years. He said it could also be a year before Syrians begin to see significant change and improvements to public services following the overthrow of the Assad regime. A delegation of 12 bishops of the so-called Holy Land Coordination is set to travel to Jerusalem from the 18th to the 23rd of January 2025 for its annual pilgrimage of solidarity to the Christian communities in the Holy Land. The pilgrimage did not take place this year due to the tragic attacks of the 7th of October 2023 and the subsequent devastating war in Gaza. The visit is aimed at letting the local Christian communities know they are not forgotten by the church as they continue to endure war and hardships. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Created in the late 90s, the Holy Land Coordination is organised by the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales and brings together bishops from across Europe, North America and South Africa. Their action is focused on 4 P's, presence, prayer, pilgrimage and pressure. The bishops go to the Holy Land to let the local Christian communities know they are not forgotten, to pray with them, to encourage pilgrimage in their land and to advocate on their behalf in their respective countries. As the war between Hamas and Israel continues unabated, with its toll of death and destruction, the bishops now feel all the more urgently the need to go and be in solidarity with Christians of the Holy Land and all those who have suffered since October the 7th. The devastation of war and suffering in the Holy Land is heartbreaking, and the need for prayer, support and to find ways to end the violence has never been more urgent, said Bishop Nicholas Hudson, who is the moderator of the coordination. Recalling Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa's words during his recent visit to London in late November, Bishop Hudson highlighted the crucial role Christians can play to help bring about a long-standing peace in the region. In his homily in Westminster Cathedral for the first Sunday of Advent, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem spoke of the special vocation of Christians in the Holy Land to work to bring communities back together and to rebuild relationships which have been broken by hatred and mutual fear. Our visit in January will be a time to reaffirm our bond of communion with the Church in the Holy Land and with all those who are left without hope, said Bishop Hudson, who ahead of the visit offered a special prayer for all who suffer in the region, calling for the Holy Spirit to guide its people into ways of peace, truth and reconciliation. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Bereaved families of the victims of the Jeju airplane crash at South Korea's Muan Airport on Sunday are calling for more support from the government. Pope Francis immediately expressed his closeness to those grieving and said he is praying for the 179 people who died in the disaster. Meanwhile, South Korea's acting president, Choi Sang-mok, said on Monday he has ordered an emergency safety inspection of the country's entire airline operations. All flights to and from Muan International Airport have been cancelled and a national 7-day period of mourning has been declared. And finally, the annual report drawn up by Fides News Agency on missionaries and pastoral workers who have lost their lives in the service of their communities reveals sad figures for the closing year. As Francesca Merlo reports, numerous men and women died in 2024 as they witnessed to the faith with closeness and dedication to those in need.
The annual Fides report for 2024 highlights the tragic deaths of 13 Catholic missionaries, including 8 priests and 5 laypeople. These courageous men and women dedicated their lives to serving vulnerable communities, often in regions fraught with violence, poverty and social injustice. Fides' report broadens the term missionary to include all Catholics involved in pastoral work who were killed while living their faith, whether or not their deaths met the strict criteria for martyrdom. Africa and South America remain the most perilous regions for missionary work, with 5 deaths recorded in each. In Africa, the countries affected include Burkina Faso, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and South Africa. In South America, Colombia, Ecuador, Mexico and Brazil were the locations of the killings. Europe too saw 2 deaths with missionaries killed in Poland and in Spain. The broad geographical locations in which the violence against missionaries took place highlights the increasing risks faced by those dedicated to faith-based work in even relatively peaceful regions. Among those killed is Edmond Bahati Monha, a journalist and coordinator for Radio Maria in Goma, Democratic Republic of Congo. Monha was shot dead while investigating armed group violence in North Kivu, an area destabilized by terrible conflict. Another person to have been killed is Juan Antonio Lopez, a lay missionary from Honduras, tragically murdered after denouncing corruption and the growing links between local governments and criminal organizations. Since the year 2000, Fides has documented 608 missionaries and pastoral workers who have been killed worldwide. Pope Francis has often reminded us of the significance of their sacrifices. Reflecting on the feast of St. Stephen, he said, "The seed of their sacrifices, which seems to die, germinates and bears fruit. God continues to work miracles through them, changing hearts and saving men and women." I'm Francesca Merlo.
And that's all for this edition of Vatican and World News. You can also follow us on our website at vaticannews.va, on Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks go to Bruno Orti in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.